No, not a Zeta. The pasuk says, "Zayd Yahir late Shemo." An arrogant Zayd is a late. What is a late? A joker. An arrogant Zayd is a joker. The Greeks, perhaps they're arrogant. They were jokers. The Greeks were jokers. They were philosophers. What do you mean? They were arguing on the streets of Athens. They were looking for truth. They were looking for the perfect society. They're jokers. The Mesillas Yesharim talks about leitzanus. The idea of making fun of things, not being serious, he talks of it as well-oiled armor, where all the arrows just bounce right off. It's the slippery shield. Why is that? It doesn't make a difference how powerful the argument is. If you can make a good joke of it, it has totally lost its effect. You can neutralize anything. Mesillas Yesharim talks about the fact that a leitz will have to suffer terrible yisurim because that's the only way to get through to him. If Hashem wants to give him his oris, if Hashem wants him to start thinking about his ways, Hashem's got to go and torture him because there's no other way to get his attention. So what does it have to do with Greece? What was it that the Greeks taught? Yeah, philosophy. They were thinkers. Rambam writes so favorably of Aristotle. He reached the highest level of wisdom a human being can without nevuah, without prophecy. By the way, the prophecy the Rambam was talking about was the revelation at Sinai too. We've got something Aristotle didn't. We collectively experienced all the wisdom that a human being can't figure out. It was all spoon-fed in the form of nevuah. But short of that, Aristotle had everything else. Why are they late sons? Clowns? Something that really has to be understood is just what was the relationship between Greek philosophy and the pagan gods that Greece had. I mean, historically, although you had the great philosophers, Greek mythology had more gods probably than any other civilization. Were they philosophers or were they pagans? What were they? Aristotelian thinking, which Rambam presents as the most powerful and conclusive argument for the existence of Hashem. He uses first cause as the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Emunah. And then says everything else is for those that can't. But the logical proof of Hashem, the entire Shara Yichud of Chovas HaVavas, which is based on the same thing, just rather than using the Aristotelian terminology of Rambam, he's using the Arabic stuff, which is slightly more mathematical and less philosophical. But they arrive at the same conclusion, and the argument one way or another is really the same thing. It's essentially Greek. How do you have a people that argues first cause, bowing down to stones, building temples to all of their gods? In fact, the Greek idea of democracy meant that unlike any other civilization before them, they tolerated worshipping whatever pagan god you wanted to. In Greece, no one forced you to worship their god. You prefer a square stone to a round one? Good for you. You don't like the sun one? You like the moon one? Fine. Any form of worship was accepted. And they were very tolerant. There was probably more idolatry. There were more forms of practicing idolatry in Greece than in any civilization before them. So where's their philosophy fit in? Greece came up with a new idea. It fits very well with their whole concept of tolerance. Which is essentially that we are left with a logical dilemma in the existence of existence. And obviously the pagan gods don't make any sense. And our logic cannot explain something other than a pagan god. Our logic has a very hard time explaining, understanding, grasping, certainly imagining the concept of existence outside of time. So even though we know that the answer would have to point in that direction, our minds cannot deal with it. So what are we left with? We're left with logic disproving anything that we can imagine, and our imagination being incapable of providing us with the emotional way of backing up our reasoning. Our imagination cannot provide for us an image that will fit in with the logical conclusion of what the Creator had to be. That makes for a lot of insecurity. Life is full of unanswerable questions. Man has the right to provide for himself any silly answer that pleases him, to provide him with his security, the rituals, that will make him feel better, console him in his troubles, create hope where the future is uncertain. The religion, the concept of religion as something that man creates for the sake of taking care of his own shortcomings, emotional shortcomings more than anything else. The need for meaning, the need for security, security in his daily life, and security in answer to the big questions. They saw religion as something cultural. It gives the nation something to rally behind. And that's wonderful. And the reason you can be so tolerant is because they're all false anyway. So why should my falsehood be better than your falsehood? You know, it's almost like trying to set up the absolute color and form of the pacifier you can give your kid. If essentially that's what religion is, choose whatever style that suits you. Although Yavon, Greece, was into idolatry in a big way, we do not view them as a nation of Avodah Zorah. We view them as a nation of Kfira. Because they didn't really believe it. What was most dangerous about Greece is the fact that they were tolerant of religion, but that all religion was cultural. This is what Chazal consider leitzonus. You're not serious. It can never really penetrate. It can't affect you. Because you'll tolerate it, and it's an art form. You'll tolerate it, but it's cultural. You can't win. You can't win. Because nothing's serious, nothing's real. Zeidim biyaroske sarosecha. Perhaps that was ancient history. It's very much alive and well in current events, though. The vast majority of Jews today that consider themselves Jewish and have some kind of Jewish affiliation are unfortunately Greek Jews. Their Judaism is cultural. Religion is something that gives comfort and security when you need it. It provides a calendar, which gives kids so much security. It's so nice to know what's going to happen every year, year after year. It gives stability. Tradition. It has nothing to do with meaning. It is not demanding. It doesn't mean that one has to change. And on a certain level, it's kind of hard to them for them to see religion in any other context. To change their impression is an absolute necessity. If you think you can just go in there and teach them a little Judaism, you're making a mistake. All right, another tradition. And they fail to understand why Orthodoxy is so stubborn and is so intolerant of their ways of worship. Essentially, they're Greek, and they don't understand that we're not. But there's something else. Perhaps the term current events isn't fair. It's a tendency we often have. It's not a shita. I wouldn't say that we believe in this in principle. But it's certainly a danger, something we find ourselves slipping into within the world of the yeshiva. And that is to be Greek in the way we learn too. To appreciate the beauty of a svara. To appreciate the beauty of how things fit in your learning. Without taking the next step, and that is, all right, now that I figured it out, does that demand something more of me? With every insight, with every newly gained sensitivity, and every time you answer a stira, that's what you're doing. And every time you develop a little more sensitivity to ideas and language and read something into a Rashi that wasn't there before, that means you've really become a bigger person. Okay, and as a bigger person, what does that mean? It means that you now have to use your newly found sensitivities to understand your own self and the world around you. It means you have to be a bigger person. You have to be more sensitive to others. It means you daven on a different level. It means your concept of Hashem is now deeper. Simply appreciating the beauty of a svara without it affecting you smells Greek. And we got to be careful. We must understand that every bit of learning demands of us a whole other level of living. You can't remain whom you used to be, but now you know more. You can't remain whom you used to be, but now you're a bigger London. If Torah doesn't change you, then you're a Leitz. It's Leitzanus. It's Torah as an art form. Zeidim biadolske sorosecha. They weren't serious. We are. We're for real. We understand that it wasn't us who created Hashem as the easy answer to the world's difficult questions. It's Hashem who created us. This is the real story of Hanukkah. Zeidim biyaroske sorosecha. Leitzanim. People to whom life was one big aesthetic experience. Against oske sorosecha, who understand that life is one long process of growth. That to be alive is to make demands on yourself. That to be wise means to become a greater person. and not just more of an artist. To see everything as an art form, to see everything as culture, to see everything as tradition, is leitzonis. Don't we look at rabbis who sell tradition as clowns? It's very difficult. There are brothers, and they generally don't know any better. But once you know the real thing, and the real thing, and you're a London, and you watch one of these fellows in action, all he's missing is the bozo nose. He's a clown. We feel bad. Zayd Yahir, and there's an arrogance. But they're late sonim. And it's so painful. They celebrate Hanukkah. What exactly is being celebrated? But we can't just talk about others. We have to make sure that we're making the same demand on ourselves, that we're not clowns. That we're really growing. That everything we learn, and everything we learn to do, makes demands on us as people. Makes demands on us as Ovdei Hashem. Makes demands of us in Ben Adam L'Chaveru. If you're a Lamdin, you think like a Lamdin about everything. If you're sophisticated in your thinking, when it comes to learning a Gemara, when it comes to understanding a Rashi, when it comes to lining up Shittas in the Rishonim, then you have to have that same sophistication in the way you deal with the people around you. And we know it's a matter of chokhmah, it's a matter of wisdom and insight. To truly understand another human being, you gotta be a lamdan. To understand it well enough, where you know how to act, and you don't think you're doing anyone any favors. Where you really understand where the person's coming from, rather than write him off as a loss, but be nice to him because you're a tzaddik. To really understand, you gotta be a lamdan. And if you're a lamdan, you got to be that bigger person and understand. That's the story of Hanukkah. With the sufganiyot and the dreidels, the real story of Hanukkah is we are not leitzonim. At best this is drush, but I always see the fact that the beginning, the first things you learn about in Hilchas Chanukah is why it's not Purim. These are two opposites. The first thing to know about Chanukah is it's not Purim. The first thing to know about Chanukah is that this is the festival where we celebrate the fact that we are not clowns. We are not Zaydim. We're not Leitzonim. We are Oskei Sorosecha. We're for real. And we grow. And we demand of ourselves. It's work. And we love it. And we appreciate that that's the fiber of just whom we are. Certainly as B'nai Torah. Happy Hanukkah.